This is the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast focusing on a wide range of issues involving liberty and justice for people with disabilities, whether they are young adults or seniors or any age in between. Your host is attorney Thomas F. Coleman. Welcome to the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast. I'm your host, Tom Coleman. For today's episode, we're focusing on several cases that introduced me to the injustices that are occurring in the conservatorship system in California and in guardianship systems in other states throughout the nation. It started with an investigation of a few individual cases and then blossomed into a full project where we're focusing on reforms, systemic reforms in these systems throughout the country.
Just because I have a disability, that doesn't mean I can't become who I am. I want to live as a free man. I want to get married, and I want to have kids one day. I don't want to live the rest of my life being controlled by a third party stranger. I have fears at night, thinking that they're gonna come to the house and take me out, to remove me from my home, my family. I feel it's very scary because this could happen to anyone.
Guardianship is a proceeding in state courts when someone is appointed to make decisions for somebody else on the theory that the person with a disability is unable to make his or her own decisions.
It's not a federal system, it's not a national system. Every state has their own criteria, their own rules, their own procedures, their own ways of doing it.
The system has been around for decades, and you know, we've had a growing awareness in America about the rights of people with disabilities, about treating them as full human beings, about respecting their abilities rather than focusing on their disabilities, deinstitutionalization of people who are in institutions. This has all been happening since the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and beyond. It's been a growing awareness in society, and these laws are relics of the past.
There are at least 1.5 million adults in the United States who are living under an order of conservatorship or guardianship. About 70,000 of them live in California. And about 6,000 to 7,000 new petitions are filed annually in California against these adults. Some involve seniors, others involve adults of all ages with developmental disabilities, and yet others involve adults who've had traumatic brain injuries or illnesses.
You could see my father and mother, they didn't care for him. You could see just how they would talk, that he was a burden. I mean, he's at a 3 or 4 year old level. I could just imagine someone attacking you and you don't know what to do. He would call out for help. It was in, the neighbors heard him. It was in these records and nobody helped him.
Mickey's brother reached out to me for help and I intervened. Unfortunately, I was not able to save him. A few weeks after my investigation and intervention, he was returned to his conservators, and shortly thereafter, he died. Why did this happen? It happened because the probate court and the court-appointed attorney who was supposed to protect him failed to do a proper investigation into the alleged abuse, and as a result, he died of negligence, not only of those who were caring for him, but also of the system itself that was supposed to protect him. The court sent an investigator to investigate the allegations of abuse and didn't do a proper investigation, as a result of which the court allowed him to be released by the hospital back to the home. And a few weeks later, he was dead.
If someone would have said enough was enough, it stopped it, not let him go back, let him heal. There's no reason he should have died. 36 years of age, there's no reason he should have.
A second case that came my way, Stephen L., alerted me to the fact that thousands of conservatees in California were being stripped of their voting rights. And this was occurring illegally in violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act and the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. After documenting these violations, Spectrum Institute filed a complaint with the United States Department of Justice in 2014.
We are here today to file a complaint with the United States Department of Justice. The complaint alleges that thousands of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Los Angeles County have been denied the right to vote because of actions by the judges of the Los Angeles Superior Court Probate Division and, sad to say, the attorneys that they appoint to represent the people with disabilities.
10 months later, the Department of Justice opened a formal investigation against the state of California. This prompted the legislature to take swift action. It passed SB 589, which changed the rules and changed the results in these cases in a major way.
After we had filed a complaint with the Department of Justice 2 years ago, the California legislature responded by passing SB 589, which went into effect this January, changes everything. It says that if somebody can express a desire to vote, they have a right to vote. The judges can no longer take their right away in these conservatorship cases.
The next case that came my way involved Gregory Deemer, a young autistic man in his mid-20s who was being forced to visit with his father on weekends, and in turn his father was forcing him to attend church against his will. Gregory objected to everyone who would listen, including the judge, including the court investigator, including his own court-appointed attorney. And despite those objections and his expressed fears and dislike of his father, he was still ordered to do this anyway, being treated like he was a child that had no say in the matter whatsoever. Why did this happen? Because his court-appointed attorney failed to advocate for him.
Greg, this is Mr. Ed Asner. Greg Deemer. On the spectrum. And his mother, Linda, over
no,
here.
No, this is my mom.
Yes.
I know my mom.
Just,
so I have two.
I feel better with mom
on the spectrum.
I feel comfy with you, mom.
You sure do. You're being great.
Gregory Deemer is a young man with autism who is 28 years old. He was placed in a limited conservatorship 10 years ago.
What's he doing now?
Well, he has two small part-time jobs. He's been working at the restaurant Spitfire Grill at the Santa Monica Airport. He's been doing that for 13 years.
Linda Deemer, who is the parent, she's been advocating for his constitutional rights for many years. His own attorney should have been advocating for him, but that right has been chipped away by the court with the cooperation of his own court-appointed attorney, and he has now totally lost the right to make decisions as to where he goes, what he does, who he sees, who he doesn't see.
It prompted me to look into dozens of other cases, and what I discovered was a pattern in practice of these attorneys, court-appointed attorneys, failing to advocate for their clients, sometimes arguing against their clients, and very often surrendering their rights. This, in turn, this investigation prompted Spectrum Institute to file another complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice.
With the general conservatorship, there's no report assessment required by the regional center, and also no court-appointed attorney. So the client goes into a court and people are proposing that that person will be conserved, and the petitioners have an attorney, and the court has a judge, and the client has no one representing their rights. So that's what happens in 80% of the cases for my regional center, for their clients. And it's different from what happens in a limited conservatorship where they're automatically appointed a court-appointed attorney. You think that would be enough? At least the court-appointed attorney would be sufficient to guarantee, protect our clients' rights, but in my experience, that is not the case. These are attorneys who don't have any specific training with individuals with developmental disabilities, how to interview them, what their abilities, disabilities are, and they don't, in my experience, tend to fight hard to help the clients retain their own civil rights, which my understanding, if it's that's your attorney in a conservatorship process, that would be the role of a court-appointed attorney.
The new complaint with the Department of Justice focused on a massive failure of the right to counsel for people with developmental disabilities. A failure so large that it was shocking to me that this was occurring. The complaint alleged that these failures were a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
The practices of the court-appointed attorneys have been violating the Americans with Disabilities Act that requires that they assist their client to have access to justice and assist their clients to have meaningful participation in their cases. And many of them are putting in as few as 5 hours on a case that's so crucial where critical fundamental rights will be taken away from their clients. And yet they're handling the cases like they're on an assembly line.
Part of the problem is the failure to properly train these attorneys or to give them clear performance standards so they know what they're supposed to do in these cases. Some courts refer to them as PVP attorneys because they're on a probate volunteer panel. They're not volunteers, they're being paid. They just volunteer to receive appointments in these cases.
Insert. The LA County Bar Association had started doing a PVP limited conservatorship training. One I attended in person, one was by webinar, were of limited value to me because it mostly just covered the law in terms of what you're supposed to do. It doesn't cover the law in terms of what your client's rights are. It doesn't cover the law in terms of ADA. It doesn't do things to teach people about the specific disabilities that your clients have and how that can impact their ability to not only communicate, but also how it impacts their rights.
Again, there's no official standards on what these attorneys should be doing or not doing. Imagine a doctor performing surgery, not having been properly trained, and having no standards as to how to operate that on that person. You know, it's ridiculous to think that these attorneys are allowed to just do whatever they want, whenever they want, in these cases. It's all a hit or miss situation.
There are no ADA standards for guardianship and guardianship attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So I created them.
Oh.
So this white paper, this you can see is best practices, mm-hmm. and then we actually come down to 5 pages. There's probably about 15 standards mm-hmm. for court-appointed attorneys and what the courts have to do if their advocacy is going to be compliant with the ADA.
Yeah.
Now, all of this would apply to seniors with mm-hmm. cognitive disabilities and guardianships mm-hmm. equally.
I have not heard anybody construct sort of take this systems-based approach.
To reform the system, but it's very difficult to seek reform when there's no single official in charge of the system. It's all decentralized, and there are many individuals who have little tidbits of the system in which they're in charge. And we've tried to approach all of them at the state and local level, but with virtually no success. The response is basically denial, avoidance, or delay.
So we have reached out to every state or local official and some federal officials about reform of the conservatorship system and the need for greater protection of the rights of people, adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Generally, the response has been silence, denial, avoidance, or delay. We now know that you cannot trust the judiciary to do the right thing without monitoring, and so we need some corrections to be made. And Your Honor, Mr. Governor, we need your support to help us clean this up.
Getting no help from California officials, we took our cause to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
The United States Department of Justice issued a guidance memo about the application of the ADA to criminal justice proceedings. So we're saying that was a great start, but now we need something about the ADA and how it applies to guardianship proceedings. It's the first meeting of its kind with the Department of Justice on this topic, and we're hoping that they do the right thing, and sometime in the near future, such a guidance memo is issued.
We're still waiting for the Department of Justice to provide guidance or to intervene in any meaningful way. Hopefully with the new administration in Washington and the new attorney general, that could happen in the near future. We're crossing our fingers. For more information on the activities of Spectrum Institute to reform the conservatorship system in California and guardianship systems elsewhere, go to our website, spectruminstitute.org. In order to be successful, we need your support and assistance, either as volunteers or letters of support for our projects, or by making financial donations. There's a donate button on the website that will give you guidance on how to make a financial contribution to Spectrum Institute. Thank you.
I'm speaking out to add my voice to the chorus who are complaining about guardianship services across the United States. It is only by telling stories such as mine and advocating for the rights of people with disabilities that systemic changes will occur.
Every part of the system is failing. It hasn't been reviewed in the 30 years that it's been operating since the legislature created it. We want to go working with the system to have the system acknowledge this themselves and then start implementing reforms. That's our preferred method. But we're not letting go until this is fixed, period. That concludes today's episode of the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast. For more information, visit the show's website at pursuitofjusticepodcast.com. The Freedom Files is produced and hosted by attorney Thomas F. Coleman. Assistant producers are Emmy Deckard and Trinity Pierce. Recording and post-production editing is done by Amaya Griskowitz. Artistic and technical advice from filmmaker Adam Soch, with podcast promotional assistance from Diane Coleman Rogers. The podcast is a collaboration of Spectrum Institute and the Law Office of Thomas F. Coleman.